And I'm going to add to Sunday morning's message just a little bit, just do a real quick recap. What we looked at in Psalm 34, in verse 12, we looked at what is man that desires life and loves many days? Well, that's all of us, right? That he may see good. So we see in the next verse, he tells us how that we can, who desire life and love many days and see good, how we can do that. Verse 13, this is a huge key. Keep thy tongue from evil, or keep thy tongue from bad, and thy lips that they speak no guile. So he's talking about us keeping our tongue, or to watch our mouth. So if we want to live long and experience life, the first thing he says to us is, let's get bad out of our mouth. Why is that? Because we will have what's in our mouth. If you want good in your life, you must have good in your mouth. And like I said Sunday morning, that is the law of sowing and reaping. For words are seeds sown with our mouths that produce after their kind. And there is power in faith-filled words. Amen. Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we do not want to be talking death. We want to be talking life. The devil is the author of death. We do not want to align our tongue or our mouth with anything having to do what he's peddling in the world system. Can you say amen? Amen. And we see that Jesus operated through faith-filled words. He chose his words carefully to creative power, amen, to change things, to bind, to loose, to stop storms, to raise the dead, to speak to the blind, whatever the case might be. Jesus used his words powerfully. And you and I have been created in his image and his likeness, and you and I have the same authority and the same power to choose our words, to bind, to loose, to bless, to lift, to heal, glory to God, to encourage, and so many other things. Amen? Now, we emphasize this because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. In Hebrews 4:14, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now that word profession and confession are one and the same. And basically it means, let us hold fast to saying the same thing. Hallelujah. So hold fast to your confession, because it will literally defeat the devil and bring victory into your life every day. Now listen, even if you feel like you're failing, even if you feel like your body is racked with pain, even if the bills are stacked up and laughing at you, I encourage you to hold fast the confession of your faith. Don't let go. Don't let go. God will never let go of you. His grip on you will never slip. But we must hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's right. Why? Because he is faithful that promised. Yes. Yes. And I think he says without wavering because it reminds us of James 1. He that wavereth shall not receive anything of the Lord. One day up, one day down. So I believe the Lord is saying, let us be consistent with our faith-filled words. So right in the face of despair, hope thou in God. Right in the face of pain, thank God he is Jehovah Rapha. Amen? Whatever the case might be. So faith always says the answer. When you find in his word that you're healed, say you're healed. Amen. When you find in his word that you're strong, say you're strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. So real faith simply says about oneself what God says about you. Amen? Say to me, we have what the word says we have. We are what the word says we are. And if God says we are, we are. So the encouragement tonight is for you to continue in the word of God. And continue to be bold to say what he said. Hebrews 13, for example, verses 5 and 6. Notice with me. At the end of verse 5, notice with me, for he hath said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Now notice the response, verse 6, so that we may boldly say.
Yes.
So we can boldly say what he has said.
Yes.
He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and what can man do unto me? The question I have for you tonight, and for those of you who are online, are you boldly saying what he has said? Too many people are boldly saying, I'm whipped, I'm defeated, the devil's got me bound. But nowhere in the Bible do we find where God said to boldly say that. We are to boldly say he never leaves us, never forsakes us.
That's right.
So what do you say if we're going to quit anything? Let's quit doubt.
Yes.
Let's stop speaking words that work against us. And let's speak the good word of God that will work for us. Amen?
Amen.
So wrong thinking and wrong believing and wrong talking will defeat you. Brother Hagin said many years ago, God has given us his word to direct us so our believing will be right. I like this statement. Say with me, if my thinking is right, then my believing will be right. And my speaking will be right. And everything will be all right. But notice with me, it starts with your thinking, right? It starts with the renewal of your mind. Okay? So when faith talks, it talks not doubt and unbelief. Amen.
Amen.
Charles Capps said this, and I quoted this. I love this quote by him. He said, words of God. Now, understand this, that words are like seeds, right? Law of seed time and harvest. Your heart is what? Your heart is where the seed goes in.
Yes.
Your heart is where conception takes place. And this came to me as I was speaking Sunday morning. Meditation builds the road for conception. As you speak the word of God, as you ponder it, it'll get down in your heart. So he said, the word of God conceived in your heart, spoken out of your mouth, becomes a spiritual force that releases faith, which is the creative power of God. So again, just by review, if you want to live long, you want to live strong, you want to see the goodness of God day after day, what's the number one thing? Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. If you want to see good, speak good. Communication of your faith is important. It will become divinely energized by you acknowledging or confessing every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And Pastor Tom, I was listening to you from a message today from 2018 about I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When you were doing that wedding in Fremont, you remember that?
Yeah,
it was somehow I got that, the podcast. But I thought, man, the spirit of faith was all over Pastor Tom. They were looking, he was asked to do at the last minute a special during a big wedding, $300,000 sound system there. Don't know what church it was. But Pastor Tom, he says, I can do this. I've been singing since I'm 5 years old. And he said he got up there and he forgot the first verse. But God. Everyone say, but God. Why? Because he's been schooled in the school of faith. He knows to say, I can and I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen.
And they had revival.
Amen.
Did a great job. Amen. But I was listening to that today. I was in real encouraged. It was good. 2018, February something or another. Go back to the podcast and look for it. It's a great, great message. But this is what we need to do. We need to school ourselves in faith.
Yes.
Every day. I mean, I don't feel like it every day, but I do it anyway.
That's right.
Hey, that rhymes. I don't feel like it every day, but I do it anyway. Woo! That's kind of prophetic. Somebody says, maybe a little pathetic, Pastor. So your power is in your believing and your speaking. John Osteen said many years ago, Joel Osteen's dad, there's a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. Amen. Romans 10:9-10. Yep. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what'll happen? You'll be saved. Yep. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, friends, saying Jesus is Lord is the great confession.
Yes.
And that got you out of darkness.
Yes.
Into the family of God.
Yes.
And if it got you out of darkness into the family of God, it'll get you out of disease into health. It'll get you out of poverty into having your needs met. So what we need to say on a regular basis, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
You ever heard that before from Kenneth Copeland? Come on, let's say it like he said, Jesus is Lord. Come on, one more time. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord over your mind.
Yes.
He's Lord over your family.
Amen.
He's Lord over your church.
That's right.
He's Lord over your finances.
Yes.
Come on, say it with me three times. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He's Lord over oppression.
He's
Lord over addiction. He's Lord over crazy drivers trying to hit you. Then Hebrews 13:15, notice this with me. Let's read it together. Hebrews 13:15, ready, read. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continue or perpetually. That is the fruit of our lips. Doing what? Giving thanks to his name. Now that word thanks is similar to confession. I thought that was interesting. Look at the Amplified version real quickly of that verse. The Amplified version says, which is the fruit of your lips that thankfully acknowledge. Acknowledge, you're confessing and you're glorifying his name. Oh, I like that. And I wrote in my notes, I love this. Our sacrifice of praise, you know, we sing that song, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Bum, bum, bum. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And it is a sacrifice of praise sometimes, right? But here's what I got. Our sacrifice of praise and our continual thanksgiving and confession of our faith will keep you connected to his sacrifice.
Yes.
It'll keep you connected. It'll keep reminding you of the price that he paid for you. Aren't you glad?
You.
In closing tonight, I want to look very quickly at four areas a Christian should include in their daily confession. Four areas. And if you want to take notes, that's fine, or you can listen to this later. But four simple areas. It's very easy. Number one, what God has done for us in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know, you could go a lot of different ways with this, but let's just center in on one briefly. How about this? The confession of faith in the blood of Jesus. Someone say, I have faith,
in the blood.
His sacrifice, the blood has been shed. So I want you to say this with me. Let's get our motor running. Let's get our mouth moving. Let's get our confession going. Say with me, I've been justified,
with God
through faith in the blood
of Jesus.
I have been made righteous
through
faith in the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word, by the rhema of my testimony. Just a couple more. I receive the sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus. I'd like to shout. And let me just paraphrase Hebrews 13:20-21. God is making you perfect in every good work to do his will. He's working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's all because of the blood. Amen. Number two, confess on a regular basis who we are now in Christ Jesus. And that includes this, what we have in Christ, and then what we can do in Christ. Pastor Tom's message, I can, say it with me, I can. I can do all things through Christ who infuses His inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in God's sufficiency. That's what you can do. What do you have? Woo! In whom we have redemption. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have been accepted in the Beloved. We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. Woo! Glory to God. That's who we are. This is what we have. This is what we can do. And then number three, what Jesus is doing for us right now in heaven. He's our high priest. He's our high priest. Hebrews talks about, in Hebrews 7:25, if you can pull it up there, talks about Him ever living. How many of you know He's alive? Say it to me, He's alive. Jesus is Lord and He is alive. And He, notice with me, seeing that last part, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's busy. Hallelujah. But notice the first part. Wherefore, He is able to save them to what? To the uttermost that come to God by Him. Oh, man. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Wow. You see, He knows what it's like to be in the pit. He was in the pit of hell for 3 days and 3 nights. He can identify with you if you feel as though that you're going through some sort of a pit.
Yes, He does.
He'll get right down there with you in the pit and make intercession for you and pull you out of it. Woo, glory to God. And I think that that's something that we need to remind ourselves of. He's alive. He's praying for me. He knows exactly what I'm going through. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the whole earth. And if we'll just call on Him, and if we'll just trust Him in our midnight hour, He'll show up with His suddenlies. And He will begin to work immediately in our life. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. And then lastly, we need to continuously think about and confess what God, by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, can do in us when we get to heaven. No, what the Word and the Holy Spirit can do in us right now. Right now. Right now. The Holy Spirit is not off somewhere. He is in you. And Dad Hagen said something that was very revelatory, if that's a word, but it was full of revelation. He said this. You know, we talk about in Mark 11:22, for example, where Jesus said, Tori talks about the inevitable law of faith, verse 23, 24, and 25, so forth. But in verse 22, He says, have faith in God. And we should have faith in God. Because having faith in God is having faith in His Word. Having faith in God is having faith in His faithfulness. Have faith in God. Have faith in His integrity. But then He said this. He said not only we should have faith in God in that respect, but we should have faith in the God that is in us. Faith in the God that is in us. And that can happen for you and me as we are Holy Spirit minded.
Yes.
Put your hand over your heart and say, Lord,
help me
to be more
God inside
minded. I've got someone on the inside. Woo, glory to God. I've got someone on the inside who quickens me and heals me and shows up on the outside. Glory to God. Someone on the inside. Woo, glory to God. The third person of the Godhead. Be Holy Spirit minded. When you say scriptures like 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, let's pull it up there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Notice with me that part of that verse. Say with me, greater is He.
Greater is He.
That's the Holy Spirit that's in you, that's your spirit, than He that's under your feet. So where is He? He's on the inside. He's living on the inside of you. So remember those four things. Now, a continual affirmation of God's word in faith will build into your immune system a supernatural anointing that is capable of eliminating sickness and disease. One of the best things you can do for your body is speak the word of God over it. One of the best things you can do for your immune system is say, my immune system grows stronger day by day. I speak life to my immune system. Any disease, germ, or virus that touches my body, it dies instantly in the name of Jesus. I have a strong immune system. I'm not weak, I am strong. Say of me, my immune system is strong. Woo, glory to God. Scriptural reasons why you do that. Because Proverbs says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of their heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Job says it this way, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto you, and the light of the Lord shall shine upon your ways. Proverbs furthermore says this, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Somebody says, I'm just having so many soul troubles. Get your tongue lined back up. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 12:6, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. 12:14 says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 3:13 says, he that keepeth his mouth keeps his life. Amen. Proverbs 16:4, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones.
Yes.
I close with this article. The following article, entitled Patient Knows Best, appeared in August of 1991 in the issue of the Reader's Digest. A person's answer to the question, is your health excellent, good, fair, or poor, is a remarkable predictor of who will live or die over the next 4 years, according to new findings. A study of more than 2,800 men and women 65 and older, there's a few of us like that in here tonight, 65 and older, found that those who rate their health poor are 4 to 5 times more likely to die in the next 4 years than those who rate their health as excellent. This was the case even if examinations show the respondents to be in comparable health. These findings are supported by a review of 5 other large studies totaling 23,000 people, which reached similar conclusions. Wow. People that have an image of themselves being in poor health will talk poor health, even though they may be in good health. They seem to live out the reality of the image they have of themselves, even unto death. This would confirm Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We got a lot of life speakers here tonight. We got a lot of folks that are full of life, full of joy, full of the Holy Ghost. Stand up, everybody. That's good for tonight. Amen.